The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In Micah 6:8, we find the familiar instruction about what God requires of us: to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. This does not teach that we have to earn God's love in our daily walk, but rather that we ought to serve Him out of love and gratitude. While obedience is essential to our discipleship, we ought not serve Him with a view toward earning credit with God. Rather, we should serve Him because of the amazing grace He has shown to us. And as we walk with Him, we will find it easier to serve Him. Join us today for the first half of this sermon about serving God in the way He requires.
Pass first
chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 6. It says, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Now I'm going to pause there. This is a statement of someone who's coming and trying to worship God. You know, we're all here this morning because we've come to try to worship God. And I want us to think for a moment about what does God want from you? What do you have to offer God? What's your purpose in life? You know, you could think about that answer and you could ponder on it. You know, I mean, the Bible gives us pretty simple instruction on what your purpose is. Your purpose is to glorify God. That's why you're here. That's why He put you here. To serve Him, to glorify Him. And there's lots of ways in which He has instructed us through the Bible to how we can do that. But one of the problems that we come up with, that we face, and we realize in our brokenness, we realize that after we fell in sin, that suddenly we are unable to serve God. We're unable to glorify Him unless He redeems us out of our brokenness first, right? Unless something happens. And this writer here says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old?" Are you going to come before God and to be able to repay Him for all of the violations of the law that you've made? Are you going to be able to come before Him and give Him some sacrifice that's going to offset your sin? What shall you do to Him? You know, you come before a king or an emperor. What are you going to give Him as a gift? What are you going to give Him as a gift? What if, you know, you've probably all got that person that you give gifts for to, Christmas or their birthday or Father's Day or Mother's Day, and you've got that person in your life who already has everything, you know, or who has the resources to get whatever they want, and so they often do. And so you think, what am I supposed to give to this person who's already got it all? What are we, as worthless worms of the dust, supposed to give to the God of glory who created this world? What gift are you going to bring? He says, shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Look, even if you could muster up enough to give Him a gift of one ram or 1,000 rams, is that gift going to be enough for God? Or with 10,000 rivers, 10,000s of rivers of oil, imagine the amount of wealth it would take to fill up rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Even the most valuable thing that you have, is that enough? And then he tells us here in verse 8, he says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? You want to know what the Lord wants from us? How you serve Him, how you glorify Him. He says, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, I want us to be clear. These are not things that you do in order to obtain His favor. Okay? These are not things that you do to atone for your sin. These are things that you do as His child to honor Him, okay? Because in order to be His child, you know, this is not a class on biology or on nature or how things work, you know, but you don't decide to become a child of your parents, okay? That's something that that happens apart from your volition. You don't become a child of God by obedience. We should obey because you are His children. The redemption that has occurred, and when we fell in the garden, we fell in sin, and you sin every day, this offering that you make to God and the way that you live is not in order to pay for your sins. Only one sacrifice was sufficient for sins. Not 10,000, not thousands of rams, not tens of thousands of rivers of oil. None of those things would pay for sins. Only the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ would pay for your sins. Okay, so we're asking this question as children, as people who have already been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now, as you sit here today, as children of God on your way to heaven, and you ask yourself, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing in my life? This is what the answer is, okay? And my whole point in that is that you don't need to get this wrong idea. None of us need to, and I know that we believe the truth of the doctrines of grace and of redemption, but we also, from time to time, will slip into thinking that I need to do something to earn God's love back. You know, we do that with our friends and our family. You know, we'll hurt somebody's feelings, and then we feel like we need to make it up to them. You know, and we probably should, okay? But we think about that the same way with God, and we think, well, because I have not studied my Bible, because I've not prayed to God like I should, He probably doesn't love me as much until I earn His love back. And that is false, okay? His love for you cannot be any more, it cannot be any less, okay? His love for you is eternal and infinite. It can't be any bigger. And it won't be diminished. But because He loves you, I want to love Him back. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him better. And so this is what He says. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly. Okay? He says to do justly. He wants you to do right, okay? To do justice is to walk in such a way that the actions that you make are just. He wants you to do right. Now, obviously, we have instruction in the Bible as to what that is. And the more that you read about His Word, not just in the New Testament, not just in the Old, and all throughout the Scripture, there is teaching of what is the right way, what's the wrong way. What's the consequences for doing the right way? What's the consequences of doing the wrong way? You want to serve God? You want to glorify Him? Do right, okay? Now, you notice in here, there's nothing about how what a dedicated Christian you claim to be, okay? There's nothing in here that says you tell people that the right things, or you say you're a Christian. It doesn't say that you say you're a Christian. It says you do justly. It says you do right. People ought to be able to make a determination from you, not from the way, not necessarily from the words that you say, but from the actions that you make, okay? Now, obviously, the words that you speak can be a reflection of character, can be a reflection of your actions. If all that's coming out of someone's mouth is profanity and garbage, okay, it might be a reflection of a deeper issue within their heart. But notice, this is about action. It says, do justly. Treat people right. Do the right things. Do you think that that means that only if the law requires you to? Do you think that God expects you to just follow the law of man? You know, there are plenty of things that our law would allow you to do. as far as reporting taxes and dealings with other people and dealing with your neighbors and landline disputes. There's all sorts of things that the law would allow you to do. But that's not our measuring line, okay? It's not what the law of man would allow you to do. Our measuring line is to do justly in the sight of God. And that means to do right even when you are the only person who will ever know what happened. Right? There are certain things that you could go out and do today that you could say to people that would not be against the law. All right? You wouldn't go to jail for it. And maybe only you would be the only one who ever knew about it. Your family wouldn't know, and other people wouldn't know. But our standard is not that low, y'all. Our standard is to do right, to do justly in the sight of God. Now, again, I want to remind us a couple times as we go through this. This is not what you have to do in order to be loved by God. Okay, He loves you already. This is what God wants us to do. What He has shown us to do because He loves us. Okay? Because we are His children, we are supposed to be different. Okay? I don't know if any of you ever heard this from your parents. And when you said, well, everybody else, all the other kids in my class, everybody else is doing this. And I get chills now when I think about it when my parents would say this. I didn't like it at the time, but they'd say, but you're not everybody else, okay? You're my child. And so, as God's children, He expects us to live a little different, okay? We don't have to be weird, but if you serve God and do right, even when it hurts you, you're going to be different, okay? And people are going to look at you weird, okay? They're going to say, why would you do that, you know? But now he also says this. He says, to do justly and to love mercy. Now mercy is one of those things in Scripture. Thank the Lord for mercy. Mercy is something that is... You know, if you think about it in the terms of the law requires certain punishment to be laid out for certain offenses. Mercy is when, ultimately, when the law and the punishment is withheld. You know, somebody wrongs you. You weren't the aggressor. Okay, somebody wrongs you. They did you wrong. Here's what mercy is, okay? Mercy is saying, I could pay them back, but I won't. That's mercy, okay? To do right and to love mercy. Now that is getting pretty hard. I don't know if any of you are starting to feel like, man, I'm starting to lose it. I don't know if I can do these things. To love mercy. He doesn't say that mercy is always the appropriate step, okay? We'll talk about some times in which mercy is not the appropriate step, okay? But he says to love mercy. That means you want to hold mercy close, okay? So mercy ought to be our default. Somebody wrongs you, mercy should be your default response, okay? As it says in the Scripture when it's talking about speaking to someone, it says, let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt. Okay? In other words, let the baseline of the way that you speak to people and deal with people be grace. And then truth and correction and whatever else, let it be just like the salt that just puts a little flavor on the meal, okay? Your base response to people ought to be grace. And it says here, your base approach to life ought to be mercy. And then he says, and to walk humbly with thy God. Man. In other words, your goal in life ought not to be about all the things about you and advancement and everything. Ultimately, our goal in life ought to be to just walk with our God. And I tell you, it sounds like all these things are hard to do, and they are, because we're broken people. But the more that you get that third thing, the more the first two become easier. The more that you walk with God, spend time with Him, and remember that your whole purpose today, I know you've probably got a list in your mind of things that you're going to do today, okay? After church, you've probably got an agenda of things that you're going to do. This week, you've probably got an agenda of things that you're going to do. And that's good, okay? We should be productive. But we ought to remember every day when we wake up, our main goal, the number one biggest point on our to-do list ought to be to walk with God today, all right? If you can do those other things while you're walking with God, great. It ought to be the way that we handle life. And the more that we walk with God, the easier it becomes to do right. And the easier it comes to have mercy on people. Now, let's look at some other scriptures to sort of color this in some. Let's go to Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Now, what's going on here, okay, as we come into this, where Jesus is teaching, you had a lot of teachings in the Old Testament about what was necessary to do in order to be clean, or things not to do in order to be unclean. And then people added to the law and made things so complicated. And so somebody here is asking Jesus, what's the high point? Okay. What's the most important law that you think we need to follow? And I think Jesus' teaching here is pretty important, because it tells us, as many restrictions as there may be, His teaching is about your attitude, and I think it helps. So let's just read it. Mark 12 and verse 28 says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? What's the most important of all the laws? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, what's happening here is that Jesus is giving them commandment, but If you understand the teachings of the Old Testament, your teachings of the Ten Commandments, the teachings of the other places in the law, these summarize the whole law. That if you love your God with everything you've got, you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, that's going to take care of most all the commandments, okay? In pursuing Him. And then he says, the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Imagine what it would be like if we reflected the goodness of God, if we reflected the mercy, the love, the grace that God has for us, if we shared that with our neighbors, okay? Now, we think of neighbors as in just the people next door, okay? Which I can tell you from experience in dealing with boundary disputes, there's a lot of neighbors that don't gee-haw, okay? But now, It's not just about your next door neighbor. Okay, your neighbor is anybody. It's your fellow human, your fellow man, your fellow brother and sister. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You got somebody who's wronged you, or maybe you've wronged them. Somebody who you just can't stand. You got somebody in your life who maybe cut you way back when, you know, you lost respect for them or whatever it is. You want to know how difficult it is to love like God? He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love that person as yourself. Ouch. It's hard enough for us to say, okay, I'm going to try to love God with all my heart and with all my soul and all my mind and with all my strength. Anybody get that right? If you do, I want to come spend a week with you, okay, and let that rub off on me. That's our, you know, we think about all these things that we need to be doing, and legalists can get off into thinking about all the extra jots and the tittles of the law and everything that's got to be just right. He says, this is the greatest commandment. Now, it doesn't supersede any of the others. It just includes all the others. If you love God with all that you have, with all that you are, then you're going to be doing pretty good. Now, remember, Jesus is speaking to people who were so legalistic about the law that they would say, okay, he says, honor thy father and thy mother. That's one of the commandments. And instead of taking the meaning of that message, instead of taking the intent of that message, they go and they take just the literal letters and they say, okay, so instead of me going and visiting my parents, instead of me going and tending to them and loving on them like God probably wants me to do, I'm going to give a gift to the church on their name. I'm going to give this money to the church, and I'm going to say, this is in honor of my father and my mother. Okay? And you see what's happening there is that they're being like a lawyer. Okay? They're taking something and they're saying, well, he says to honor thy father and thy mother. And so they were giving a gift to the church and they were saying, this is for my father and my mother. You think that's what the law was for? You think that's why God instructed us to honor our mother and our father? No. He gave us that law so that we would take care of our mother and our father and reverence them and love them, okay? You see, God is a God of mercy and of love and of respect.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, CHRISMCCOOL. @gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.